Hello and welcome to another episode of Your Intention Matters, the podcast. My name is Paul Madat. Thanks very much for again taking the time to join us on this episode. I am very excited for this one. I'm stretching a little bit with my audience and my guests. And so today I have Grant Yates. He is city manager at the city of Lake Elsinore in beautiful Southern California. Good morning, Grant. How are things?
Good morning, Paul. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Thank you for having me on today.
Well, you're in Southern California. Isn't it beautiful every day?
Yeah, it is. No complaints on this end.
Well, listen, I appreciate you being here. Say hi to everybody and provide a quick intro, and then we'll get into it.
Good morning, everyone. Again, my name is Grant Yates. I've been city manager here in Lake Elsinore, California for about 8 years now. Lake Elsinore is located on the 15 corridor in Southern California between San Diego and Los Angeles. Our community during the last decade has been one of the fastest growing cities in the state and the nation. We actually were the fourth fastest growing city in the state of California over that last decade from 2010 to 2020. And USA Today rated us as the 12th fastest growing community in the country during that time period. So we have a lot of great things happening in Lake Elsinore. And I'm excited to share some of the things about that. And in my career, I've been involved in local government management for about 34 years now. And it's been quite an exciting journey.
Well, you know, I'm excited for this one because up until this point, really my audience and my guests have been more on the sales and sales leadership side because that's more of my own personal background. And so you gravitate to kind of what you know. But given what's, 2020 certainly has been, and me being a dad and having two kids and really being more exposed to what happens in education, also in the city and public sector with everything else, I really wanted to expand the audience here. And so, Grant, as you know, the title of the podcast is called Your Intention Matters. And that really stems from my belief that nothing is really given to any of us, no matter what role we're in. Everything is kind of earned. And it all starts with mindset and intention. And so if you're ready to go, I'm looking forward to share your story. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so let's get into it then. So I want to start with current state today here in 2020. We're on the other side of the 4th, probably a different July 4th for you in the city than maybe in any years past. And so as we talked about before I hit record, 2020 certainly has not been the year that any of us drew up on a number of different levels going into it with some pretty severe impacts in terms of COVID as well as social with Black Lives Matter. And so you being on the public sector side of things, but I'm curious, how over the last 4 or 5 months, really I guess since March, but the last 4 months been both for you professionally, but also personally, how's the family, how other than the perceived inconvenience of maybe working from home and having to navigate that, how have you managed the last 4 months?
Yeah, it's been a challenge for everybody at every level. And so obviously nobody anticipated a global pandemic and what that looks like. I will say that in the state of California and in our area, we have actually done quite a bit of pre-planning for a pandemic emergency, right? And so in California, we spend a lot of time doing emergency management. And one of the exercises that we run through quite a bit is planning for a pandemic. So we had plans in place. We had plans in place from the county level, from the operational area, Southern California, and all the way up to the state about how to address a pandemic. So that helped a lot. And so when we actually started getting further and further in, right, we kind of had a game plan. Obviously, nobody could anticipate where we are and what's been happening. But I think overall, it's gone according to our emergency plan. It absolutely has not gone according to plan at any level for anybody on a personal level, right? And so, it's been a real challenge on our end. And so just trying to get through the day and some of the decisions that have to be made every day it gets pretty intense. And you find yourself making decisions that impact people's lives And some of the decisions you make, you never know if it's going to, you know, protect people or not, right? As an example, we were all set to do our annual 4th of July fireworks. We do it over our lake. We yeah. basically sell passes for people to go out on the lake. And Lake Elsinore is the largest freshwater, natural freshwater lake in Southern California. And so we take advantage of that, and we allow folks to go out and you know, watch the fireworks on the lake. We actually canceled that show 4 days before the 4th of July. And we did that based upon the information that kept coming down and the number of cases that were growing. And that was a real disappointment for everybody, right? And the community was upset. And that was a decision that that I think was the right decision mm-hmm. because that's what was happening. But again, another example of, okay, we think we have a plan, we implement the plan, and then all of a sudden, right, we have to pull back. And that's happened dozens of times on, you know, almost a daily basis, making a decision about, yeah, you know what, we can keep that park open. No, we can't. We can allow sports to happen. No, we can't. You know, you name it, the restaurants and the businesses. And, you know, we get involved in making all of those decisions and communicating that and being the go-between, right, between the state and the county health officers, and making sure that we're sharing that information with our local businesses. And then they're the ones that, you know, we're the closest ones to them. So they know us, they pick up the phone and take out their frustrations. And it's just been a hard road in the last few months.
Well, you know, Grant, I really appreciate your comment regarding, you know, you on paper were somewhat ready to go. You had your action plan. And then of course, once it happens, you know, in some cases, all bets are off and you have to kind of navigate. And, you know, on a different level, you know, as you know, I'm in Toronto, I'm in Canada. My wife's a nurse. I don't think you know that, of course, yet. And so my wife's a nurse. We have two kids who are 6 and 4. And so when March comes along and all of a sudden now I'm working from home, the kids are here. And on day, I kind of laugh about it now, but on day one, my wife actually put up on the fridge this like to-do list of like, I'm supposed to do schooling with them. And like, I'm just like, what? No. So we were ready for it as well. But, you know, in terms of it converting into application beyond what was on paper on the fridge, I might've got through one item and then that was pretty much it. Right. And so you have to adjust on the fly. Even right now, I mean, where I am, everything they've kind of opened up a little bit more so up here. And so to the point where the camps have actually opened. So we put our kids in the camp, but what they're doing is they've put kids in pods of four and to try and respect social distancing and try to be smarter with it. And sure enough, one of the pods that my son was in, he's four. One of the kids came down with a cough after day one. So public health said, we want you to go get tested. And as a result, all the kids in that pod can't go back until the test comes back negative. And so now, so here's my game plan today. I'm thinking, okay, I'm now able to actually work with the kids in camp, but now I have my son in the other room and he's just kind of fending for himself while I'm trying to work, right? And so 2020, not the year that we drew up at all, but I give you a lot of credit for handling it the way you've handled it. And I'm optimistic that there's a light here at some point and on both fronts, on COVID, but also with Black Lives Matter and the impact that that's having. And I wrote a post on LinkedIn. I did a poll and I said, what's 2020 going to look like in the history books? And a few people, you know, I put, is it going to be remembered? It's going to be a blip. And most people are like, no, this is going to be remembered as a good year because change will come of it. Yes, right now we don't think of it as a good year, but I'm optimistic that down the road, you know, certainly when my kids are in their 20s and 30s and they look back on 2020 in the history books, they might go, that actually was a monumental year because we learned from it and maybe we came out better in the end. And so congrats on having a great attitude with this, despite the fact that it's not what any of us really planned for.
Yeah, it's been a real, you know, going back to the pandemic and then we can shift into the Black Lives Matter, but early on, we have basically a regional minor league baseball facility here in Lake Elsinore. And so the Lake Elsinore Storm play there. It's an affiliate of the San Diego Padres. And we were the first testing site in the county, right? And so you can imagine how, and this was before the pandemic was really taking off, and we had a lot of citizens upset with us that we were actually bringing right, the virus to the community.
Right.
And so it's actually played out very well where the community did embrace, they trusted us, they embraced, and it's been a really good thing because we, you know, we got ahead of it a little bit. And so we were able to educate our community about what was possibly coming, about what that could look like, right? We did a lot of outreach, a lot of social media, a lot of communication. And I think that's really helped us, you know, because it has been a roller coaster and we're zigging and zagging almost hourly. And, you know, we've seen a huge insurgence of cases the last couple of weeks. And, you know, we go back to starting on Mother's Day, we saw a spike, and then you go to Memorial Day, saw a spike, 4th of July. So every time there's, you know, gatherings, right? And so we just don't know what the future is going to bring. And going to your comment about what 2020 is going to, you know, look like in the history books, I am very hopeful, right, that it is going to be some positive change. And I think, you know, from a fabric of society, I think some good things come of that. And, you know, this pandemic, until science gets ahead of it, it's going to be tough.
Right.
And that's really the reality. And nobody really knows what that looks like. So it's going to be a challenge, I think, going forward.
Grant, talk to me about this. You know, you have a decorated career in the public sector for a long time, if not all of your career, it looks like, or it certainly sounds like. And so, you know, with your time at Carlsbad and then your time at Temecula, and then now your time at Lake Elsinore, have you seen anything like this? I mean, how do you stay on top of this on all levels? Because it just seems to me like I think about my life and I think, okay, I'm old enough to remember September 11th. And that mm-hmm. was, I remember that day like it was yesterday. And I remember the details of it and what I was going through that day. And I'm in Canada. I wasn't even in the US, but that to me was an attack on all of us because it was my way of life as well. I remember the mortgage crisis of 2007, 2008. And what that did for the world for a couple of years there and people that were impacted there. And so talk to me from a city perspective on how this has just been, you keep me honest here, but I'm assuming it's just different.
Yeah, no, that's a really astute observation, right? And I think that word different is really critical to my trying to put the pieces together because I still haven't put the pieces together. It may take me years to assemble what's happening in the world and try to make some sense of it, because it's right now when you're in the middle of it, you know, you're making decisions fast and you're trying to have as much information as you can and you try to stay ahead of it and you try to think through the ramifications of the decisions that you make, and so it's been a real real interesting approach. And it comes down to, you know, if you've had solid relationships going in, that helps. Right, because you have to have trust in my world. If you have the trust of the community, right, and the community's not in conflict, and you have stable elected leaders, right, and you're not having conflicts with the council and the council and the community, all of that helps. Because when you make a decision and that decision gets pushed out to the world, you're always going to have your 20% that, you know, hate everything you do, no matter what you do.
Right.
Right. And you can't win for losing. But what we're trying to get to is a decision that makes sense for the majority of the folks. And again, health and safety is first and foremost. And so, you know, you filter through all the information, you rely on your team, right. And hopefully you've got a solid team and they understand their roles and they understand what they can bring to the table in making a decision. And so those decisions then become easier because you have more input. And so the weight of the world is not solely on your shoulders. And, you know, in our city, we've gone through quite a few emergencies over the last couple of years. We've had a massive fire, the Holy Fire, within the last 2 years. We've had massive flooding, the Holy Floods. We had a worldwide natural event. We had a poppy bloom, which got worldwide attention. And that was a real emergency for us because we had Disneyland crowds coming into our city every day for a month. And our system and the freeway couldn't handle it. And it was, so we had all of that stressor. And then we had a massive fish kill, right? And so all of this has happened. And my team was very, and the community was very weary. disaster weary. So we spent the last 2 years just getting pummeled. And we were really excited about 2020. We thought we had everything, you know, moving in the right direction. And then, you know, the body blows start coming.
Yeah.
The first one obviously was COVID. And then you start talking about what happened in Minneapolis and the implications of that and the Black Lives Matter. And we've had, you know, a number of protests here in our community. And I can talk about that in a little in more detail. And we're very proud of how that came out. But again, it comes down to the relationships, right? And the relationships are everything. And basically being able to engage people at whatever level, it doesn't matter if it's in your organization or if it's at a larger level, if you can engage them in, you know, meaningful dialogue and have those hard conversations, then you're just moving forward, right? And you're not stuck in a spot. And for me, in managing a, you know, managing a community, managing an organization, and being in the public sector, that's everything. And so for us, we were able to work through it because we had those relationships and we had systems in place and we understood what needed to happen to get us through. And the community, you know, the broader community understood, okay, and we're going to get through this. And with your help and with our help and our support and our leadership, we're going to get through this. And that's really the most important thing that I've learned through this is that everything you do up to a point where you have that jumping off point with an emergency, it matters.
I really respect your commentary on this. And, you know, I certainly, I'm looking at it from both sides. I think about on the COVID side, I get it from my healthcare side because my wife's a nurse. And in the Black Lives Matter movement that's happened this year has really, it's been eye-opening to me because as a white guy, as a Caucasian, I've acknowledged I don't get it. And it doesn't mean I don't get the movement or the issues with it, but it's that I've never lived it. So I don't pretend to. So I've always treaded lightly a little bit with my commentary on that because I want to be respectful of it. And so I'm curious about something. With me in Canada, I vote all the time, but I'm an independent is what I would classify myself. Are you surprised at how politicized both issues have become and how that factors into you on the city side of things? Like, does that surprise you? And how have you handled that on both sides, COVID, but also Black Lives Matter, with people taking more of a political stance on it versus just a stance on, well, this is the issue versus left or right? Are you surprised by that?
Yeah, I am, but I'm not.
Okay.
And so at local government level, at least here in California, it's nonpartisan, right? And so we basically try to live that mantra, right? That being said, we're obviously a political subdivision of the state of California. And so, you know, politics are a big part of our world, of my world. I don't engage, if you will, right? I mean, I'm nonpartisan. I basically make decisions from, you know, management decisions and policy decisions that help the community, irrespective of party politics. You know, when you look at what's happening in our country, in America right now at the federal level, it's not surprising, right? And it's somewhat disappointing because the COVID-19, you know, a global pandemic is not political, and the asks are, in my mind, very minimal,
mm-hmm.
right? The ask is, you know, wear a mask, social distancing, wash your hands, be respectful. But the fact that that's become such a political statement, right, is just for me disappointing, right? It's not, you know, I guess I'm not surprised. You watch what's happening. You just turn on the TV and you see it, right? We're basically creating, you know, right down the middle. 50% of the people believe one thing and 50% of the other, and it's very supercharged right now. The emotions and the politics of everything are supercharged. And I don't understand that enough to be making a comment on it. You know, I know there's a lot of frustration you know, a lot of social and economic divide and growing divide. And I'm, you know, all I know is that there's a need for change, right? And some of that change is really relating to, in my humble opinion, relationships and building relationships within your community and having a organization, right? And the police department in every city is a is an organization within a organization, right? So it's a department within a structure. And I am hoping that, you know, the leaders in a lot of areas open their hearts a little bit and build relationships with the community and take those, you know, conversations to the next level. And I think that, you know, that's not cliche, and that's hard to do, right? Especially if you have an organization that has, you know, a history of treating people one way or another. And so in our community, and I'll just talk about Lake Elsinore a little bit, maybe that's an easier, you know, easier segue into some of these bigger issues. But in our community, we're historically very diverse. We actually had the first African American mayor in the state of California here. We have currently have an African American mayor. We have two Hispanics on our council. So we're pretty reflective of the community in that respect. We
You
have a
hire based on
very,
merits.
oh yes, sir. And this is the council, right? This
For
is the
sure.
council, so they're elected. And then,
Sorry,
you know,
voted on merits, not necessarily skin tone. Got it.
yes, sir. And so we absolutely hire based upon merit. And we, you know, I can talk about that for a long time because the most important decision we make as managers, regardless of what industry you're in, is the people you hire. And so, you know, you make a bad hire there, and it causes a lot of problems. So you have to, that's the most important decision we make. But relative to the community, you know, we have a very well-respected and active chapter of the NAACP. We basically have a lot of dialogue with the community. Our policing approach here in Lake Elsinore, we are actually contracting with Riverside County Sheriff's Department, right? So we have a contract for police services. We don't have our own police department, but what we do have is we have a community that treats the sheriff's department kind of as our own police department, and so we're very engaged as a team. The sheriff's department leadership understands what's important for our community and relationships, and so we spend a lot of time, you know, in the community and getting to know people and having those conversations. So we had, in the height of all the things that were going on in the world, we had a number of protests in our community, and we had, you know, basically marches down our main street, and we had the council and the mayor and us were marching alongside of everybody, right, and having dialogue. And it was quite interesting because in a couple of those, we had, you know, speeches at the end. And so some of the local organizers were part of our local NAACP and were part of the community. And they were talking about the need for change, right? But they were also talking about the importance of relationships and how the city here is open. And whenever there's an issue, we have dialogue. And a couple of times in those protests, people from outside the area grabbed the mic and were militant and were basically very, you know, nasty, if you will, about, the relationships of the police department. Let's take the police down and let's go
Right.
after them and all these things. And our local leader stood up and said, no, that's not the right way to do this. We base our, you know, our actions based upon our relationships and how we move forward and with respect, and we want change. And so I was very encouraged about that because I think that, and I think that happened in a lot of other areas, right, that didn't get a lot of press. And so I think that in there is a positive message. And that's really what we have to focus on, I think, as a world, if you will. And how do we deal with, you know, law enforcement issues and, you know, the whole concept of defunding the police and what does that look like? And, you know, there's a real need in the world, right, for having law and order. There's also a real need for compassion. There's also a real need for services. And you have to find that balance. And there's no magic bullet to that. Each community is different. But you have to engage in those dialogues. And that's the only thing that I can figure, Paul, is it's going to take us some time to figure out how to get that balance, right? Because going one way or the other makes no sense to me. And you can't swing, you know, from, oh my gosh, from a militant to, oh my gosh, nothing, right? And then how do you provide, you know, how do you move a community forward with both sides anchoring,
yeah,
right? And so those are, you know, I thought I knew a little bit about the world, and I'm learning I don't know much. And if I don't know much, that's okay, because, right, then we're open to that. And as a leader, you know, just a small little city, you know, in Southern California that doesn't really merit, you know, on the bigger stage. But I think there's lessons there. And I think that's important for everybody to just take a deep breath and figure out where we go from here.
Well, you know, Grant, you are right in the sense of like your population right now might not compare to LA County or San Francisco Bay Area, but you are a growing community. And so I'm not surprised to hear that you've been impacted on both sides of what we've been talking about with COVID as well as with Black Lives Matter. And so I know that you don't have a magic wand or a crystal ball to look into the future, but what can you share with me regarding your intention and the city's intention and vision for what's next and what's the plan moving forward?
So we've spent a lot of effort trying to keep business moving forward as normal. And so, you know, our projects, our construction projects, our private development projects, our housing projects, you know, spending time with the investors and the developers and the business community, and trying to make sure, you know, that they have our support going forward, and we're not going to be zigging and zagging and making their lives more complicated. So we're, you know, consistency, I think, is the most important thing. And especially when you deal with business investment, right, the business community needs some certainty. And so for us, right, we're going to move forward. We're not going to, even when we closed our doors, you know, we were still all working. We still had, you know, we everything can be done remotely. Mm-hmm. We still provided service. So again, you provide that comfort level that, okay, in this chaos, things are still moving forward. And I think that's important. I think that, you know, trying to provide as much timely information as you can without making people schizophrenic, right? So your public outreach from the local government arena anyway is really important. Sharing your intentions and making sure, right, that people understand that, you know what, how do you fit into the world? And, you know, meaning, how does the city of Lake Elsinore fit into the decision-making process when something comes from the federal government or from, you know, the state capital? And what does that look for us? And what is our decision-making authority, if you will? So people have some sense of, you know, okay, I get it now. And again, this is complicated. These are complicated times, and nobody really understands how the system works. So they get bits and pieces of information from social media. They may watch Fox News, or they may watch NBC, or they may report opinions, and they don't, right? And so we spend a lot of time trying to, you know, help people understand from our perspective what's real and what's not real. And I think that's an important role. And the only way that you get to that point is if people trust you, right? And you've built those, built that foundation of trust. And that's the only thing that I know right now. Yeah. I mentioned the science is everything, right? And what's going to happen with, you know, as we go into the next flu season, right? That's a real concern. What's going to happen with, you know, with COVID-19, what's going to happen with all of those issues. And we've been pretty lucky. We haven't had terrible, terrible flu seasons the last few years, but, you know, that's cyclical too. So, you know, we're concerned about what potentially else is out there in addition, you know, added on to a COVID-19. So again, those are just thoughts that keep us up at night.
Well, you know, Grant, I appreciate you taking the time to be on today, really. I know that it's a unique period, and I imagine even in a normal environment, even the ask of an hour of your time to record is so I'm not tone deaf for that. So I really appreciate you saying, no, Paul, I'm going to be on, let's chat about this. And you're happy to be on. So I appreciate that. Grant, last question for you. I always like to ask anybody who's on, If anybody was listening and they were looking for some advice, and I'll shift it to your space in terms of public sector and government, because you've had a long career, number of different roles and different levels of government. And if there was somebody who was looking at maybe wanting to get into government on any level as a career, or maybe they're early on, or if you had any advice that maybe that you would share with them, or maybe advice that's been given to you, anything come to mind?
Yeah, no, that, first of all, people have an opinion of, you know, oh, I go into government and it's, you know, X or Y or Z. And I will tell you, it is potentially one of the funnest careers you could have, because every day, every hour is different. Something else comes at you that you weren't prepared for, and it really, really challenges you. For some people, that is very painful, right? And you really need to know yourself. And what I found, and when I build a team, you know, in a local government setting, is I really try to drill down on who the individual is, and do they have a servant heart, and do they understand, right, what the cost is, so to speak, for coming into the public sector? Because there is, you know, there's a lot of things that you deal with and you don't have to deal with in other areas. And so you really have to have a servant heart, because you're working 24/7, you get phone calls in the middle of the night, you know, a fire, a police, or whatever the issue is, you have to, you know, communicate very difficult and complicated processes and decisions, and working for a group of people that, you know, an elected official's qualifications is they have one more vote than the next person. Right. And so it gets complicated when you're trying to receive direction and get five people that have political inclinations on the same page, right, and moving a community forward. And again, that's part of it. But it's not necessarily a bureaucracy at the local level, right? And people come in and think, well, I'm just working at the DMV and I'm moving feet, you know, and it's not like that at all. And it's a very dynamic business operation. And again, we have business units, right? So each department is a business unit, and there's a lot of different things that you can get into. But I will tell you that it is an exciting career, and it's a very challenging career. And for people that get into it, they're extremely rewarded. It's an extremely rewarding career, but it's not for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I say that local government management or government management is not for the faint of heart. Because you're working in a fishbowl, you're criticized 24/7 for every decision you make, and every decision you make can be on the front page of the newspaper. You get a TV camera stuck in your face, and why did you do that? And so if you're attracted to making the world better, if you're attracted to taking risks, if you're attracted to working hard, you know, the rewards are very much there for you.
Well, Grant, I appreciate that comment. And again, thanks so much for being here. I've enjoyed immensely speaking with you.
It's been an honor and a pleasure. And like I said, if there's anything I can ever do, just, you know, let me know. And again, we're open to helping people. If anybody has any questions about anything, and this information was a lot of my perspective. And I told you, you know, I don't know. I thought I knew about the world. Now I don't, right? So I think that's kind of an important message, is if everybody relaxes and is more open for dialogue, we'll get through this. And I think this will be, like you said, a historic year, but a lot of good could come of it if we take that opportunity.
Yeah, and I echo that sentiment as well. And so thanks again, Grant, for being here. Let's wrap this one up. And thanks, everybody, for taking the time to listen. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. Remember, your intention matters, because that's the result you'll tend to get. We're out of here, and we'll do it again next week. Be safe, everybody.